session number 11750, reel 17.
Mr. Lineker, reel 17. We were talking about after the war, when the effects of your experiences had caused you to become aggressive, you know, about the home and everywhere. Mm. And you'd had ECT. What happened when you came round? You said that...
Well, we had an headache and a half, as I say, both my legs was... It felt as if they'd been punched from pillar to post because of the effect of leaving those suspenders on, which I shouldn't have done in the first place. And you have a complete loss of memory. They won't allow you to go home alone. When you've come round, they give you a cup of tea, biscuits, usual thing. But you can't go alone, you can't go home on your own. You've got to have somebody there to take you home because you don't know where you are. And I had an uncle that came with me and he took me home. It's similar to one of those little puzzles that you get as a kid with the glass cover on and you've got a chain inside, a long chain, and you shake it and get a different pattern each time. Now that is the effect that ECT has on your mental system. It shakes it up. And if you've had an aggressive pattern there, they're hoping that it'll shake it after a course to a more amenable pattern. It seems silly, but some cases it has its effect.
And how did it do with you? Do you think you were successful?
Not really, because I had this, and of course, that was the end of the treatment. I used to see the psychologist, this lady psychologist, regularly, and things didn't improve at all. And, of course, the reason being that I couldn't forget. And it was always there at front of me, you see, the picture. And it was in all the cases. So, time went by, and this psychologist said to the wife, well, there's only one thing I can suggest. It's not going to do any good as an outpatient. Because I was tearing the house apart, I was ill-treating her. Any other person, I suppose, would have left me. But that was it, of causing misery, problems. There's only one thing, a mental hospital, which in Manchester, the main one is Prestwich, which possibly you've heard on, it's a huge one.
How did you feel about being sent to a mental hospital after all, you know, after all you've had?
Well, if you just let me carry on, you'll see that it didn't affect me all that much for this particular reason I shall tell you now. The alternative to this mental hospital was the Castle Hospital in Surrey, Ham. And that hospital was originally opened by the Countess of Mountbatten, and it had been for shell-shocked ex-servicemen from the First World War, and they carried on in the Second. And it was for nervous mental disorders. It wasn't an asylum or a mental hospital in the sense of the word. It was more an hospital that dealt with mental people or mental disorientated people in a more kinder way. You see. So, it had to be shut to pay for it. It was an amenity bed.
So you didn't go to Prestwich?
I didn't go to Prestwich. I had the alternative, and that is the reason why I had no fear of going in a mental hospital, because I didn't go in one. I went to this. I was sent.
And you had to pay for this?
I had to pay my own fare. I went to the assistance board. It was then the NAB, the National Assistance Board, because I wanted the fare, the railway fare. And what did they do? They put me through a long interrogation of my means and what have you. And at the end of it all, after this poop full of information that they'd mined out of me, they offered me 10 shillings towards the fare to London. So I told them what to do with it and came away. And my relatives then chipped in towards the fare, which was money then. I wasn't working, you see.
You hadn't been able to get work?
I was at work, but I was more off than on.
What work had you gone back to?
I went back to a warehouse, textiles, which was just a means of existence.
Did you have
trouble? Because I had no will to do anything better or to look for anything better. I didn't want to know. When I was a prisoner of war, I had a goal. Now I hadn't.
Did you have trouble at work with your temper and, well, aggression? That's not fair to say.
Oh, yes, it could be awkward. I didn't do any damage, but I did all the damage where it didn't matter at home, didn't I? You see? Which wasn't a very brave act. So I went to the Castle Hospital on an amenity bed, which cost Dorothy £2.10 a week, which was a lot of money then in the 40s. And there I got a marvellous psychiatrist, Dr. McIntyre, and a marvellous nurse, Sister Ellis, and they did great things for me there. And it's at Am Common, opposite Richmond Park. And I was there from July. July. I didn't go in there till 1950, I think it was 50, about 4 years. I was about 4 years at home, you know, going through all this performance. I mean, it was lots to put up with the help of the ECT, etc., so that would help me. But I eventually was at the Castle Hospital in 1950 under Dr. McIntyre and Sister Alice, and they did marvellous for me. I upset them there. I was breaking cups, saucers, plates, you name it. And the best way he thought to get rid of my energy was to, he gave me the motor mower's job on the lawn at the back. Sat down on it, one that he sat down on, a huge thing. And he let me go to town on this grass. I was cutting away and cutting away. I was getting it out of my system, you know. Like some of them played tennis, knocking hell out of a tennis ball for aggression. He used all that sort of method, and there was people there that couldn't raise their hand, they'd say. They couldn't, their hand was stuck like that, they couldn't move it. And it was all cycle up here, you see. People who couldn't go out, afraid to go out, couldn't go out the front door. There's all those times. And I was there from the July up till towards Christmas, and then I came home. And it still went on, this. I was happy down there. I was happy. It was like you was in a cocoon. You was away from the outside world. I was in an atmosphere where I had no problems facing me, at front of me. And I wanted to live there all the time, which was stupid. You still have to go back into the real world. You still have to face it. In fact, I created a bad back as I couldn't stand up straight. All psychological, that. They sent me to Kingston Hospital with it and gave me heat treatment. And there was nothing wrong with my back. I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stop there forever, which is impossible. And they don't let you, the doctor and Sister Alice, I try to get attached to them. They won't. They keep you at arm's length. They cannot let you become dependent or attached to them, you see. And I can't see this. Anyway, they do send me home, don't they? I've got to go back into the real world. And that carried on, and I started having treatment again. And over the years, I've been in Hope Hospital in Salford. I've had ECT treatment again. I've had drug treatment in one one doctor, he's not there, he's down your way now, Dr. Michael Tash. I even paid for a specialist in John Street, Dr. Michael Tash, and he put me in his beds in Hope Hospital. And he wanted to give me what they call, is it the lobotomy treatment? That's the all through here and out of here, and they see whatever they want to see. But it didn't get to that. I never had it. But that's the way it's been. Until eventually, I got, after many years, and it took me a long while to realise it, that drugs and that is not the answer. It all devolves around yourself. You either accept a thing or you don't. You can't keep fighting and fighting and fighting this thing. So I stopped the drugs like that myself. And that's the way I've been ever since.
When roughly was that, do you think?
I can go back not long ago to the 70s. In the 70s. Yep.
So you... your POW, the Second World War... Basically,
they gave me a pension. I came out with a pension, you see, and then you'd laugh at this. I came out with a pension, and while this performance is going on, even of being under treatment for it, I thought I must move. I must get out of this here textile room, and they was asking for warders. Strange ways. Believe it or not, and I put my name down. I mean, these are things that you do that you say, "How the hell did you have the nerve to do something like that?" I wouldn't know, and I did, and I got an interview, and there was about a dozen of us. And of course, first of all, I think it was the deputy governor. He talks to you, and he prunes it. And I was in the last half dozen, right? And this ward, as it says, we're off to them, give you a medical now, you see. So, he said, you've a good chance now. You've got over the one hurdle, you know, you've only a medical and you'll be a good chance to get this job. And when I walk in into the doctor, into the medical, straight away, medical officer, Jew boy, well, that didn't enlighten me at all very much. Because, you know, when you see a person and the fellow's never said a wrong word to you and you take an instant dislike, you know, the feeling that comes between you. Well, this is the way I felt with this fellow. And then he says, he was in the army, he came out. Did he come out with a pension or what? Of course, naive Freddie. Oh yes, I got a pension now, but I'm all right now, you know. Out. You see, stupid things like that.
Where did you eventually work?
On the railway. Where I wasn't as honest then, because when I went for my medical there, they said, "Have you anything wrong with you over the, you know, since you came out the army?" Oh no, no. Plays a fiddle A1, you see, and all that. So, fair enough. And there you are, men.
Do you feel bitter about the way the war and your POW and the POW experience has disrupted your life?
Yes, I do. I know it couldn't be helped. The prisoner of war, well, I'm going to include it in the old lot, the old from being called up, military plus. I mean, who knows? If I hadn't been a prisoner of war, I might have been in a grave. Nobody knows, do they? But I think it took a slice out of my life from a 20-year-old to 27, and newly married. My first anniversary was the 7th.
Thank you very much.